For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Cleveland Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Hello and welcome to The Ball Bags, a weekly podcast breaking down all the news from the United Rugby Championship, the NFL, the English Premier League, the NBA, and the wide world of sport.
Hello, and thanks very much for tuning in to what is the final episode. Not just prior to Christmas, but also of season 5 of the Ball Bags. Delighted to be joined, as always, by Mr. Consistent and Mr. Inconsistent. I'll let you guess who's who, but it is a full panel this week. So, Chief, how are you?
I'm good, Sasquatch. How are you?
And what would you identify as, Mr. Consistent or Mr. Inconsistent?
Consistently inconsistent.
Okay, it's modest of you. And obviously, delighted to be joined by a real rock star of the podcast, Rocky. How are you, sir?
Fine, thank you. I see you switched up the order of introductions.
Yeah, I think I'd like to keep things fresh.
Maybe you were referring to yourself as Mr. Inconsistent.
Yes.
A warning to the listeners, if we get emotional, it is the last episode of the season.
Yeah. I don't tend to get emotional now. The only thing that makes me cry is when... No, I'm not going to do that. Look, we have done 9 episodes this season. We're not going to change things as it comes to season's end. We're very much done with work for the year, but work's maybe not done with us for the year. So look, tried and trusted. Player of the week. Agree, disagree. And then must-see TV for this weekend. So, Chief, start us off. Player of the week. Who and why?
Divisional rival for the unfortunate team I happen to support. But Sam Darnold had 347 yards for 22 of 28 attempts, 5 touchdowns, including a 52-yarder to Justin Jefferson. Thought very, very good composed game. Probably
complete the stat, sir.
Which stat?
First Vikings quarterback to throw for 5 touchdowns
ever
in 20 years. Dante Culpepper.
Throwback.
And you remember that name? He was lights out until he got injured and never quite the same. It also helps that he did it over the previous long serving Vikings quarterback.
As well. It's probably not someone we would have considered to ever be in this position, probably. Going back to the start of the season, that Sam Darnold would be a potential player of the week, but here we are, and Vikings very strong contenders for the playoffs. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. They haven't seemed to have fallen off the cliff. Could be an agree to disagree, but you do feel like those injuries could catch up to Detroit, and we could be in a situation where the Vikings are, there's 4 weeks to go, they could somehow end up being the number one seed, or the NFC North champions anyway.
I think they're...
It's not beyond the realms.
If the playoffs were to start today, I think they're fifth seed at the moment in the NFC.
Mm.
and you'd probably fancy them against the Buccaneers.
Certainly.
Yeah.
Just as in a quick aside here, I think that the Vikings have to come off as geniuses for letting Kirk Cousins go.
Yeah.
I wasn't convinced it was the right move, particularly replacing him with Sam Darnold, but like a masterclass.
Well, you see, what you got to bear in mind is they weren't aiming to replace him with Sam Darnold. They have kind of looked into it.
No, like, sure. I mean, like, they drafted, as you said,
J.J. McCarthy, was it?
J.J. McCarthy, hi. Sam Darnold was going to be that bridge quarterback. We've seen him play well during stretches, but and they have, of course, Daniel Jones now in that room. But yeah, no, I think it's been a very good move by the Vikings.
Again, probably another agree disagree, but you'd have to question whether it's a sign of how bad the organization Sam Darnold has been in are, or is it just elite level coaching?
It's probably somewhere in between. I mean, he was on the Jets with Adam Gase and the Panthers. I think, was that Frank Reich's year? Like, he's been he was fairly impotent since leaving Philly. So, as you say, I'm talking about his professional life.
Yeah, okay. Moving swiftly on, your player of the week, Rocky.
My player of the week, I'm going with the LA Ramp, Puka Nacua. On Sunday, he went for 12 receptions on 14 targets, 162 yards and a TD. And he also rushed for 16 yards and another touchdown. I just think I know everybody rates him quite highly. I still think he's underrated. He's not constantly mentioned in that bracket of top receivers. I think he's showing he is more than just a volume receiver now. He had an absolutely incredible catch, like just tipping the tips of his feet down on a sideline catch on Sunday. I think he's also tough. I know it's a little bit nonsensical. I think he was injured on earlier on in the year, but I think he's a physical receiver, and he's carrying on what we thought Cooper Kupp was going to be since he had the triple crown there a couple of years ago.
Fair. Valid. I'll keep mine short, sharp and snappy. Cole Palmer. Obviously, I know his two goals in the weekend were penalties, but I think the final one in particular is the definition of testicular fortitude. I don't think anyone viewed a title challenge by Chelsea this year. I think the longer it goes on, we're kind of expecting Chelsea to fall away, and they just haven't. And I think he is so much of what's good about Chelsea this year, as he was last year when they struggled, but when they had good games, he was the key to it. You've got to think City are kicking themselves still at letting them walk, and not walk obviously, but yeah, I just think he could potentially be the best player in the Premier League at the minute, and I don't think that's a egregious statement. I think in a vacuum, if you analyse every player, I think so much of what he does is independent and not reliant on the players around him. I'm not saying that they're all terrible or anything like that, or they're jokes, but some of them are, and yet he finds ways to show up,
make things happen
week in, week out, and yeah. So for me, I went with Cole Palmer. I don't think he's got a nod, I don't think, as of yet, so I think he probably deserved it maybe last season, but yeah, I went with Cole Palmer this weekend. So, Chance, if you had to pick one, it's probably the first one.
Well, it generated the most discussion. I think I'd have to go that direction. I think
fair. First one into the group chat as well. So yeah, look, that's always usually a good sign. Moving on, we have a great disagree this week. We're going to cover a bit of English Premier League action. We're going to cover a bit of the NFL action. Guess who's bringing the NFL action? And we're going to have a quick look at the European rugby at the weekend.
Mr. Consistent.
So, kick us off. Chief.
So as we're approaching the playoffs. No, I'm only joking. Big news coming out of Manchester United this week, with Dan Ashworth resigning 5 months into his tenure as the sporting director. I suppose what I'm asking is, like, where does this leave Man United going forward, and who should take the blame? Is it Ineos or the Glazers, or a combination of maybe both? Obviously, the Glazers still have a control and stake in the club and stuff, but it's kind of a rudder.
Do you want me to go first, Rocky, or in that?
I'll let you have this one, Sasquatch.
Okay, fair enough. I think this is... I'll start with the negatives and then I'll get to the positives for United fans. I think the Glazers in this are free from blame. I think we're 10 months into Ineos's tenure. I did a bit of digging, a few stats for you. So in their first 10 months, they've extended Erik ten Hag and then they've sacked him, costing the club millions of pounds, euros, whatever currency you want to use. They appointed Ashworth, which cost them a significant payout to Newcastle. 5 months down the line, they've now sacked them, costing themselves even more money. They've had unprecedented ticket price rises within the club. So again, they're treating the fans far worse than the Glazers have ever done. But yet the Glazers are still public enemy number one. They've brought about mass redundancies in the club. People who have given their life to the club from the greater Manchester area. So they've caused, like, if you looked at their cross-town rivals, the one thing, and I know it may be sports washing, but the one thing City have actually done, they've invested heavily in the area as well. So they've brought about greater good to the Manchester area as a whole. And on top of that, it's the X's and O's, gents. They are currently overseeing the worst on-field results since the 1980s. 28 league games in their tenure. They have just 35 points since the takeover.
Yeah.
So I think it's very clear to me that Ineos is the problem. What would I say is the positive as a United fan? I think you have the right guy at the helm in Amorim. I caveat that with 2 points. One, it's a project. You, as United fans, have to do everything within your power, which is voices, to support this fella. You can't be looking for Amorim out in 3 months' time if it's still the same as what it is now. When he took on the job, he wanted to come afresh. United were like, no, you need to start now. And to be fair, it's a very good thing. He can see players under pressure. Who's going to rise to the challenge? We need to get rid of him. The club may look need to cut the deadwood. The problem is contracts at the minute. And just take the loss on the players. You're already taking the loss on your back office admin team and your manager. So scrap it. It's a complete overhaul, but it's a project. And I think it's 4 or 5 years from completion. And you got to back Amorim. Do I have support in Ineos to do that? I probably don't at this moment in time. They can get it right, but I think that's the crucial piece for me. Is it's, I think you do have, look, I think you do have the right manager. I've seen kind of the way United have played, and you can see they don't have the players that they need to play that system, but the development of a philosophy and a playing style. Sacked off the results and a year out of Europe being competition, be that Europa or Conference League, is actually not a killer, because they're not going to make Champions League.
Yes, I think very good points there, especially about like the historical staff that had been there, like long-term staff members that they've laid off, like dinner ladies and stuff like that. And you hear like Marcus Rashford being given a bonus. And it's like, a bonus for what? Like, his performances haven't deserved his weekly paycheck, never mind a bonus for what he's been doing. Okay, he had a blip up, like, as in a little highlight of what he can do. But it's too few and far between. Like, his consistency has long gone out the window. I think his interest in even being there at the club has long gone out the window. Like, he done great work in the community himself, but I think he allowed that to overtake what he is first and foremost, which is a footballer. and it sidetracked him. And look,
yeah,
his lifestyle and stuff, you know, like he had a famous car crash where he rode off a brand new Rolls Royce and stuff like that. He, you know, it's just, he's, to me, he's probably one of the pieces of the problem. Let's like move on from him.
Yeah, look, there's a few, like, you could name the player. Like, yeah, you need to get rid of Luke Shaw, you need to get rid of Harry Maguire.
Oh yeah, Malacia, even, like, he, how many games has he played since he's joined from Ajax? You know, it's like, is that a strength and conditioning thing at the club, like, that caused a lot of this? It's hard to know, but at what point do you say it's not working for you here? Like, you're not fit, and it's like the Phil Jones thing. Phil Jones wrote out his contract because he just, back-to-back injuries, never fully recovered from any of them. It's like they gave him the 1 year option when it was like, we'll just let you go, and they've made constant bad decisions. And I think even some of the business where they've let players go, someone like Scott McTominay is having a stormer for Napoli in Serie A under, is it Antonio Conte's the coach there?
And to me, that's less an issue of him doing well in Napoli, because like a lot of people would understand that leagues play differently. And not saying one league is better than the other, I know that's a consistent argument, yeah, but the style of play in certain countries is different and that can suit different players. Likewise, you'll see players tear it up in Europe, come to the Premier League and just not work. But Scott McTominay last year was one of United's
best. That's the killer part. He was one, the issue one of the better players, but also commitment-wise, he was the one that always showed the fight. Like he, a bit like Paul Scholes with his tackling, he'd risk getting a yellow or a red card, but at least he was putting his body on the line and stuff. You know, like I think even Bruno Fernandes, to be honest, he's had too good of a run. He should never have been made club captain. When you look at United club captains,
yeah,
he doesn't even get to clean the boots of any of the past captains in terms of, like, he's not a leader of the club, or do you know, like, he's not an inspiration to anyone. He's always rolling around whinging and stuff like that. So
no, now to be fair, like, you could look at a lot of clubs and you could say something similar. Like, you could look at Arsenal and say that about Odegaard, that type of thing. But yeah, I think if I was, the time would it go, so just like for me anyway, to wrap it up, I would say you can say what you want about the Glazers, and I know
20 years almost now, yeah,
suffered with them for the last 20 years.
Yeah.
But they never gutted the heart of the club.
Yeah.
And I think Ineos did that within 10 months.
Yeah, there's a lot of, so, rightly or wrongly, time will tell whether these decisions have been for the better of the whole club and team. It's just the manner in which it was done, I suppose, is what's hard to stomach, I suppose. Mm-hmm. I think you're right, though.
It's hard to stomach when.
Yeah, yeah. When, yeah, they're still mediocre.
That's the thing.
But I think you're right, though. If the back Amorim and give him the tools to cut the dead wood and build what he needs to build.
Yeah. Fair. Right.
Rocky,
I'm very sorry
we
ran out of time there. We couldn't take on your points.
That's all right, lads. I'll see you then. I'm off.
For season 6.
You won't need me, so.
Anyway. Rocky, talk us through yours.
So, they somehow keep getting away with it. And you might know who I'm talking about already. But the Kansas City Chiefs pull out another lucky win after their win over the Los Angeles Chargers. A doink in and through for a game-winning field goal. Before we wrap up, gentlemen, do we think that this iteration of the Kansas City Chiefs can go the whole way? And I'll add on maybe just a bit of flavor, a bit of side question to this. Do you think there might be shades of what we saw with the Philadelphia Eagles last year? They strung together some some wins, but they were awful, awful looking wins, I think. I'll give you a very brief recap. 4 weeks ago, 5 weeks ago in Denver, a last second.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Missed field goal from the Broncos gave the Kansas City Chiefs the win. They lost to the Bills the following week. Carolina played them very tough. They won just by 3 points on the last second field goal. The Raiders last week, you'll recall, they recovered a botched snap when the Raiders were driving to tie that game or to win that game on a field goal when they were in field goal territory. And then, as I said, just a couple of days ago, they doinked it through. So what do you think? First off, do you think they can win the Super Bowl with how they with their form?
Yeah.
I would. Okay, for me to jump ahead, Chief. For me, I wouldn't say they're akin to the Eagles of 23-24. I would say they're akin to dynastic run one of the New England Patriots. Sorry, the dynastic run maybe two, where they're not going to beat themselves. And the sides you've all mentioned, Carolina, Las Vegas, they're sides that. The Chargers, I'll give a miss to be fair, but they're all sides that if you put them under enough pressure, they will beat themselves. And that's the difference. It's whereas with the Eagles last year, I kind of always felt they weren't getting those like seasonal plays, those like once in a season plays, which the Chiefs have got in abundance this season. I think if the Chiefs don't go all the way, it would be because they come up against a side that's just better and is composed.
A la Buffalo 4 weeks ago.
You mean to tell me Buffalo don't have a few screws loose in them? In Sean McDermott and Josh Allen. I think this is the best iteration of Buffalo, but like I would back Baltimore to beat them.
I think I would too.
And I think the Chargers, if they got another chance at them the way they're going, I think they could do them as well. But I don't think they'll have the fall off that the Eagles had last year. But that's what they speak to me is. It's probably the worst on paper iteration of the Chiefs in the Andy Reid.
They probably are going to stutter all the way to at least the AFC Championship game, and it's whether it's the Ravens or the Bills, I think, is probably the question. And then if either of those are composed enough on the day in the Championship game, that's probably where they'll get caught this year. And otherwise it's the Super Bowl and potentially Detroit, or could be the Eagles if the Eagles can stay hot and, you know, go on a nice streak now for the next few weeks into the playoffs. Like, they're definitely, and obviously we can't rule out the Vikings either, you know, as potential stumbling blocks for them, but they do just seem to be stuttering their way to another Super Bowl. And but the thing is, winning ugly is still winning, so no one's going to give a damn how these matches went if they get another championship at the end of it.
Yeah, very true.
The big thing for me is, like, if they were to drop some games down the stretch, a lot of people would say, oh, it's fine to qualify for the playoffs. But for me, that's actually a bigger issue. Because if they have home field advantage, I just think they're going to find a way to win. To go to Arrowhead is going to be difficult for anyone come postseason football. Especially the kind of money in the bank over the past half a decade plus.
They don't have a favourable schedule to end the season. The Browns next week, but then the Texans, Steelers and Broncos, who played them tough on their first.
Yeah, like, if they drop two of those games and maybe fall out of the one seed.
Yeah, I'm like, they might be resting starters versus Denver, depending on how the seedings shake out. But you're right, you'd expect them to take the Browns. And I think the defense is coming together more so, as we've seen Spagnuolo's defense sort of kind of gel at the right time in the year, sort of late. I think we saw that a little bit against the Chargers.
Yeah. Like, for me, I guess these are all obvious things, but they're not obvious when it's Kansas. But I think this season they're very obvious. I think if they get home field advantage, I think they're a massive, for me, a massive odds boost to be AFC champions. I think if they obviously get, if they're not, they don't have home field advantage, I think we might have a new AFC champion this year. But I also think if the Chiefs win the AFC championship, I would say that we will open, regardless of who it is, with the AFC champion as underdog in the Super Bowl. Whereas I'm not entirely convinced if it's Buffalo or Baltimore that we'll open with them as an underdog.
Yeah, I can see that. Of course, it depends on the flow of the playoffs, but I can see that as it stands right now.
Is that the answer you were looking for? That's the big
the answer. Can they in go short, all yes. the way?
Yeah.
Yes, they can.
They probably they can. I think that that combo of Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, they have such a high floor. You know, they can come out and look ugly, but I think any time they step on the field, they have a chance to do what they need to do.
Gonna go off piece, and I'm gonna correct you grammatically.
Please do. I'm ever like, a student.
Technically, the Dallas Cowboys could still go all the way.
The question
you should have asked is, will they go all the way?
Okay, he's right, ladies and gentlemen. I do.
Broken clocks, muchacho.
I deserve to be broken whipped clocks through the streets.
Yeah, fair. Anyway, enough of that. So, gents, I know you both would have tuned in. A Munster fan and an avid NFL fan. To the Leinster fixture on Sunday at 5:30 of all times, as they opened their Champions Cup campaign. Obviously, they laboured, fair to say, in the first half. It was 7-7 at half time, and then Leinster pretty much emptied the bench. And a man on debut was All Blacks royalty, Jordy Barrett. And I think within 15 minutes, he had laid an assist on. Now, assist is generous because Sam Prendergast did most of the work thereafter, and had scored a try, which is a phenomenal opening 15 minutes to anyone's career at any club. But I suppose the question I just had for you, of two, and the first one is, do we think Jordy Barrett's introduction at Leinster is going to act as a development to Sam Prendergast's game, or will it cause a hindrance, considering in crunch time Sam Prendergast would likely no longer be the starting 10. And then just to ask, and what else caught your eye during the first slate of European fixtures? I know Chief has probably WWE.
As you say, phenomenal 15 minutes, but what do you expect from such an established All Black? If nothing else in the next 6 months, the likes of Sam Prendergast and even Jamie Osborne and stuff training with Jordy Barrett, and like, I know he's not there to coach or to, like, he's there to win trophies. He's brought in to win trophies for Leinster, and like, you know, that's the first point of it. But clearly someone as talented as that is going to help Prendergast game. He's situational awareness and stuff, like, he's just going to show him things that he mightn't see or have the chance to learn with even Tyler Blindale there as the attack coach. It's a different perspective, you know, coming from the All Black setup and stuff. It's definitely going to give him like the tools to develop even further his game. Like he's far from a finished article. Like, he's still only 21. He physically needs to develop, but like after his autumn internationals, that was a good game from him, from Sam Prendergast. And like, I think a lot of people probably thought, oh well, Leo Cullen's going to go with Ross Byrne. Detroit didn't trust it for him in the big European games and stuff. Did Bristol live up to their full potential in the game? Probably not. Like, they probably left a couple of scores behind them to make it a closer game. But that was potentially down to Leinster's defence and just doggedness, you know. So, yeah, I think definitely he's going to be, like, not just Prendergast, he's going to be huge for the younger talent there. And do you know what? Even Henshaw and Ringrose playing alongside him. Like, if you get a combination of Jordy at 12, Robbie Henshaw at 13, like, that's a serious prospect. Or even Jordy and Ringrose as a centre partnership. Like, it just gives him so many options. And then he can play 10, he can play 15 as well. He has a monster boot if you need to kick a penalty 60 metres. Like, I'll have Johnny Wilkinson or Dan Carter at 10, I'll take Ma Nonu, and it's like, yeah, absolutely, you know.
The cheat code.
Obviously, you kind of alluded to it with the best impression of The Undertaker by Stade Francais on Craig Casey. What's his name? Palisse, is it? I think. What he was thinking, I don't know. And I think if O'Matney hadn't have intervened, God knows how Casey would have ended up there. Genuinely, like, he could have
killed him.
Like, left him in a, like, yeah,
could have killed him.
Probably, like, actually killed him for the size of him and stuff. But great to see O'Matney still has that dog in him, like, and you know he's going to bring it every game. Every game he plays in red or green, he will stand up for his teammates.
To be fair, O'Matney was about 5 minutes
seeding,
decapitated himself. Yeah. So I imagine he's still bubbling.
I think from the fixtures, it's clear that you still got the three main contenders, La Rochelle, Toulouse, and Leinster, are, you know, they're the teams to catch and to get past if anyone wants to win this competition. La Rochelle actually coming into this in pretty bad form, like, in the top 14, I think they're 7th or 8th or something. But go to a team like Bath, who, if I'm not mistaken, are first in the Premiership, and to get a win, you know, it's kind of that doggedness O'Gara has brought to that team. Obviously biased, Munster had a nice home win, which they've been struggling for home form in the Champions Cup the last number of years.
Something they want to flag. I was
pretty low
attendance.
I think the weather at the weekend may have put a lot of people off, because there's quite a lot of, like, you have your Limerick based fans, your Cork based fans, but then you have Munster fans spread throughout the country and in England that would normally travel home for these kind of fixtures and stuff like that. I'd say there could have been quite a lot of fans that couldn't get into Ireland over the weekend and missed the game. But the atmosphere from the people that were there seemed, you know, a much improved from previous weeks and stuff like that. So, tough time. Yeah, it's like who put the white socks in with the
for Europe
with the kit when it was being washed. But it's look. I think the one caveat of it is Ian Costello is 100% in Europe as head coach of Munster.
fair. And look, not to shade Leinster and Munster, but there's two other problems to play this weekend. I suppose Ulster, they come up against one of the, as you said, the favourites in Toulouse. Outside of that, I think it does show how far off the pace Ulster are. It was quite a sizable defeat. And Connacht, if I'm not mistaken.
Handy enough win. Was it one of the South African teams? No?
Decent enough one. Was it Brive?
I could be wrong. But three provincial wins out of four, which at the start of the weekend you probably would have predicted. But you wouldn't have said that Ulster would concede as much and lose as heavily as they did. You kind of always expect Ulster to have a bit more competitiveness about them, which unfortunately wasn't the case at the weekend.
Fair. Well, look, gents, I think we'll leave it there. Just one last segment to get through, and that is this week's Must-See TV.
I just want to apologise to Connacht fans. It was Zebra that they played at the weekend.
It may have.
Yeah. and I don't know why I thought it was one of the South African teams.
My fault, I said Brief.
Probably thinking of the previous week's URC fixture. But anyway, back to the main event. I think my Must-See TV this weekend is the Lions versus the Bills, Sunday at 9:25.
Very NFC North of you the last few weeks, but not where the heart is. Just point that out. I think it was the Lions Packers last week yourself?
Sam Darnold, yeah.
It was.
Well,
and Sam Darnold.
It just goes to show how brokenhearted I am as a United fan that I've overlooked the Manchester Derby. and City's form as well, to be fair, is probably, it's
probably your best chance in a few years, given how
it would normally City have. Play. But anyway, I've said too much.
Yeah. Rocky. It's your Must-See TV this week.
I just want to commend Chief there on a good selection. A potential Super Bowl combination there. I'm going to go with what would be a more unlikely but surprising one, and that's the Eagles at the Pittsburgh Steelers. That's on at 9:25. Don't think it's the Sky Sports main event, so you'll have to get it on your streaming services.
I'll have you know, it's a humdinger in the Amish community. Obviously, the Pennsylvania Derby. It's huge for that community. I digress. And I suppose I've decided, do you know what? I'm going to continue on watching the Jury Barrett experiment and kind of see how Leinster go against what was once one of the perennial challengers, Clermont Auvergne. I think that's start even 5:30 when it be corrected, and that will be on Premier Sports, who have got the Champions Cup rights this season. So, gents, any final tidbits before we finish up? For
don't eat yellow snow.
Season 5.
It's been a pleasure, gentlemen.
I've had my fun.
I've had fun. And that's all that matters.
That's all from me.
Great references. But look, that's all from me.
That's all from me. I wanted to get in second there.
Thank you. And good luck.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.